I believe I have a message this morning that I think is a lot of you may have never even heard of this particular story. I have to be honest with you in preparing for this morning. I actually had never heard of these two particular women. And so I got real excited to preach this morning. I believe God is going to do something really supernatural in the hearts and the lives of not just the moms in the house, but anybody in the sound of my voice this morning. So will you join with me in prayer as we get ready to open God's word? And I just believe we're going to allow him, the Holy Spirit, to take over this morning. And so, Father, I thank you right now, God. I pray, Lord, for ears to be open, hearts to be open, Lord. Lord, we put aside our busy day, Lord. It's a day to celebrate moms. But for right now, God, it is an opportunity for me as a mom or as a dad or as a son or as a daughter, Father. It's an opportunity for me to grow. Lord, it's an opportunity for me, Lord, to hear from heaven. So, Lord, I pray, let the words come out of my mouth. Lord, let them be like seeds in their hearts this morning. Whether they're watching online, in a car, at work, wherever they may be in this auditorium, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, have your way. Father, we don't preach a message, Lord. We don't just read your word, God, for a good goosebump. But God, I pray, let there be change happen on the inside of each and every heart that's in the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout a big loud amen. Amen. I've got a story to open up with. It talks about how as men, are there any men in the house? All right, just checking. Oh, that was pretty good. As men, we're always trying to figure out this amazing creation called women. I can tell you, I'm going to go there. I can tell you I've got 29 years of marriage and 34 years being with the same incredible woman, and I still have not figured her out yet. Can I have it? Thank you for the one amen. I still have not figured women out. So this story gave me great encouragement this morning. A man was walking along a beautiful stretch of Florida beach. He stumbled across an old lamp. He picked it up. He rubbed it. And out popped a genie. That genie said, "Hey, listen. Four other men have released me from this lamp this month. And I am getting a little sick and tired of all of these wishes. So you can forget about three. You only get one. You only get one wish." Well, the man, he thought about it, scratched his head a little bit. It really, really took him a few minutes. He said, "Well, I tell you what. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly. And I get very seasick, so that's not going to really work for me. I got it. Genie, can you build me a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over there to vacation?" The genie laughed. He said, "That is impossible. Think of the logistics of that feat of having to build bridges across that ocean. The supports would never reach the bottom of the Pacific. It's impossible. Won't happen. You just think of another wish. Go to your other wish." The man thought about it. And he said, "Well, you know, I've got one more. I've been dating for years, this woman, and women that I date always say I don't really care enough about them and that I'm just insensitive." Guys, have you heard that before? Well, just me then, I guess. "So," he said, I wish that I could fully understand women, to know exactly how they feel and know exactly what they're thinking." The genie paused, then said, "You want that bridge with two lanes or four lanes?" Let's pray. So, you know, on Mother's Day, I dug into the Word of God to find great inspiration of women, great women leaders. And there's a lot of them. I can go down the list, but for the sake of time this morning, I'm gonna encourage you. Open your Bible. It's always easy for me to speak about Moses or speak about Abraham or speak about Rachel or speak about Hannah. You can keep going down the list. Speak about Ruth. You can talk to all these incredible men and women that are throughout the Bible. But there's something about us discovering women or men in the Bible that there's not a lot of talk about them. There's not a lot of story about them, but man, did they ever have an influence? Did they ever radically change? Did they ever alter the course of why you and I are standing here, sitting here this morning? And so I'm going to talk about two particular women in general. Will you open your Bible to the book of Exodus, Shifra, and Pua. How many of you, just a quick show of hands, how many ever heard of Shifra and Pua? Ah, good. Hey, we have a Bible college, by the way. That's a shameless plug for the Bible college. And it'll start back up in August. Hey, don't feel bad. I hadn't really never heard of them either. And so I had to get into my Bible, and I had to really understand why they are so significant. So if you have your Bible open, go to Exodus 1. And I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites, they were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly. They increased in numbers and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt." If you underline things in your Bible, you should underline that verse. "The king said, 'Look,' he said to his people, 'the Israelites have become way too numerous for us. Come, we must deal with them shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous than us. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country.' So they put the slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramses and store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. And so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them even harder." The king of Egypt, in verse 15, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Pua, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live.'" I'm going to stop right there. And what an amazing few passages right there. So much packed into that. And I'm going to do my best to unpack it as quickly as I can. But a few things I wanted to call out. What's interesting about this story is actually how it started. So Joseph, if we read in the very first verse in verse 6, so Joseph had carried on this great promise as you read the book of Genesis, right? All of us know the story of how God promised to Abraham and all the way to Joseph how they were going to have this incredible land and this incredible ability to populate the world, and God was going to bless them and God was going to do incredible things through them. And so with that as the promise, Joseph, and I don't have time this morning to go back and tell you all the story, but Joseph had just incredible favor. Didn't start out well, but Joseph had incredible favor within the Egyptian community. And in fact, he rose and became one of Pharaoh's most trusted people. In fact, Pharaoh gave him dominion, allowed him to manage the Egyptian empower. And he wasn't even an Egyptian. Amen? And so Joseph, through this story, if you go now into what we just read, Joseph now has died. That generation that came into Egypt, that then had great favor and was multiplying, that generation, that initial generation, died. And so now this new Pharaoh is in place. And what's interesting about this particular scripture and this passage so far is that the gentleman that was mentioned, the Pharaoh, he doesn't even have a name. He just calls him, the Bible just says, Pharaoh. No name, very indescript mention of him. And so 300 years had passed between Genesis 50 and when Joseph was helping the Egyptians. And so that's why there's this tremendous turnover. That's why there's this dying away and this raising up. But how many of you know that in this passage where Pharaoh had no relationship with the people that Joseph had put in place, he had forgotten how great that Joseph and the folks before him had made it. The empire that he is controlling. I mean, you know, in life, it's important for us to make sure that we honor and we learn and we cherish and we pull knowledge from people that have gone before us. We had an incredible. I want to honor. I call her Mama B. She's my mother-in-law and Pastor Rob. That we had an incredible joy group on Friday night, and we talked a little about that. That when you get a little bit older in life, it's easy for you not to feel like you have any value. But I want you to know as a young person, right, and other young people sitting in the sound of my voice this morning, hey, age is just a number. Amen? And I know that I can learn a lot from other folks that have gone before me. So I don't want to ever assume that I know everything. I want to be thankful for the people that have made the sacrifices. I don't want to be thankful for the folks that have tilled the soil ahead of me that made it a little bit easier for me. Can you shout amen? Well, see, Pharaoh didn't have that. Pharaoh, what happened to him is he got mad. He got intimidated. He got jealous. He got worried. He got so worried that he enlisted the help of his people to start tormenting and start oppressing and start working these incredible Hebrew people to the bone. He made them slaves. He made them slaves. And he thought by somehow, some way working them and somehow, some way just continuing to beat them down, that would break the back of these incredible people. But we read about it. It didn't happen, did it? Instead of it breaking the back of these incredible people that God had placed, what happened instead? They multiplied even more. I thank God that no matter what happens to you and I, no matter what circumstances you and I, no matter what hell we may walk through, I thank God that as long as I put one foot in front of her and trust God, I thank God that God will continue to open doors for me, that God will continue to multiply us. Amen. That no matter what we face as a church, no matter what the enemy tried, there is an enemy, amen, that hates us, hates what we're doing, hates you sitting in this seat this morning, hates you watching online this morning. There's an enemy that is wanting to kill, rob, and steal from you. But I thank God that if we recognize that, we learn, we get equipped on a Sunday morning like that, and then we can fight against the enemy, amen? We're not defeated. We're not defeated. Those folks weren't defeated. They were worked like dogs. They were worked like slaves. But they weren't defeated. In fact, the king in verse 15, it talks about the king initiated what is called genocide. It's the first real record in the Bible of genocide happened. It happened again. It had actually happened last century with what Hitler tried to do, wiping out a whole group of people. But I thank God that in the midst of this evilness, in the midst of this brutal dictator, in the midst of this ruthless person that had absolutely no compassion and no love and really no understanding of God's plan and God's purpose, I thank God that there was a couple women. There was two women, actually. I thank God there's two. The Bible calls them two midwives. Two midwives that decided to step in and to do something about it. See, Shifra and Pua were the two ladies. They were the two ladies that Shifra means beauty. Pua means splendor. I don't know about you, but when they're delivering a baby, I want beauty and splendor to be delivering my baby. Amen? I have to admit, I don't think I'd ever name my baby Pua. But the king invited these two midwives, these two very humble women, these two women that were obviously trained, these two women that they didn't probably have a lot. These two women, actually, the Bible says they didn't have kids of their own. So they never experienced the miracle of childbirth. They never experienced the miracle of life. So you can imagine getting called to the king's palace with all the trappings and all the ways that people in power will try to intimidate somebody else. Amen? When somebody, in fact, there's a little unknown business rule that when you, and maybe you've experienced that when you've been on the other side of the desk, but they say in business that if you really want to have your position of power, you should raise your desk or certainly raise your chair just a little bit so that you're looking down on the person that's in front of you. Well, I thank God that these two midwives, they didn't care who was looking down on them, amen? They didn't care, they weren't intimidated, they weren't fearful, they didn't bow down to this Pharaoh. Instead, they stood up to him. And so Pharaoh's policy, quite frankly, in terms of him wanting to destroy the Hebrew community, of him wanting to take out folks that were outcasts, folks that were marginalized. See, the Hebrew people, by then, Pharaoh was viewing them as the outsiders. He was viewing them as foreigners in his land. Granted, remember, if it wasn't for the Hebrew people, there wouldn't be a land. Amen? They're the ones actually that saved the Egyptians by feeding them through Joseph's life. But here we are, 300 years later, and he's pointing these folks out. He's wanting to eliminate them. He's wanting to reduce them to nothing. The plan should have worked. He had all the right people. He had his people in place in order to create this genocide. He had all the things in place. He was this demagogue to his own people. That was the level. He controlled the military. He controlled the religious. He controlled the political. He controlled everything. His policies, his approach should have worked to kill every single male child. But God used two women. I want to preach this message. The name of this message is called That Girl. That Girl. Shout it. Say That Girl. Everybody shout That Girl. See, God is looking for that girl. Amen. That girl that's willing to stand up. That girl that's willing to know who she is. That girl that's willing to understand the fight that she is in. Amen. And so that girl, actually there's two of them, that girls, here's what happened in verse 16. Actually, verse 17. It said, the midwives, however, feared God. Let me just stop there. That is the beginning of you and I really stepping in and knowing who we are. For you see, these particular two young ladies, is that they knew what they were responsible for doing in terms of their job. Their job, once again, was to bring life in. Their job was to protect life at any cost. Their job was to nurture and take care of that mama that is struggling. I've never birthed a baby, but I heard it's quite intense. I'm just telling you, these ladies were to make it quite easy. And so that was what that's their job. But in terms of what was happening on the inside of their heart is they feared God. I thank God for women in the sound of my voice. I thank God for men in the sound of my voice that know God, amen, that know that God is bigger than my job. God is bigger than the things that I may experience, that God is bigger. God is bigger, amen. God is bigger, my Lord. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for women. I'm thankful for women that value life in the sound of my voice. I'm thankful for women, even if you've never birthed a baby. I'm thankful for women that whether you're a sister, whether you're an aunt, whether you're a grandma, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a pastor, whoever you may be, I'm thankful that you have taken upon your heart in order to take care of kids. Amen. The greatest treasure we have as a nation right now is our children. If there's ever a price on somebody's head, just walk into a middle school. Walk into a high school. Walk actually into an elementary school. I'm continually amazed the things that our young people are facing today. I'm continually amazed what they have to encounter at the tender age of 10. 5. 15. Because I can tell you when I was their age, all I was thinking about was, when is the next soccer game? When is the next basketball game? How do I make sure to turn in my homework? Which, by the way, I've got a real honest story to tell. But I actually had to make up a book report one time. I didn't read the book because I'm a horrible reader. I start books, but I never finish books. Anybody? All right. Well, that's me. And so my focus was how to have a good time, how to go outside, you know, how to somehow, some way, without being too awkward, talk to a girl, right? Those are all the things that I grew up trying to experience. But the things that our young people are experiencing today, drugs, alcohol, suicide, depression. Hello? Is anybody with me? Man, if there's ever a time for a mom in the sound of my voice to step up, whether they're your natural child or not, if there's ever a time for the women in this house, amen, to step up and mentor and to be there to disciple, to pour your life into another girl, amen, another girl. I'm telling you, there is a price on the head of our young people. It's up to us. What are we going to do about it? So let's keep going in verse 17. It says, the midwives, however, they feared God, and they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. Underline that in the Bible. They let the boys live. Hey, think about, you know how stupid Pharaoh is? Think about this. I was thinking about this earlier in the week. Think about the stupidness of what this request was. Pharaoh said, hey, Shifra and Pua, which, by the way, they weren't the only midwives in all of Egypt. They were just the two midwives that were then overseeing more midwives. So the influence that these two women have was amazing. Amen? They were managers. They were CEOs of midwives. Midwives, Inc. Amen? That's what they did. And so what's so odd about Pharaoh's request was, hey, kill all the boys. Think about that. If we kill all the boys, who's going to do all the work? Right? He didn't really think that one through. Very good, right? He was stupid. Not the sharpest knife in the proverbial toolbox. Amen? And so if you think about what the request was to kill all the boys, let all the girls live. These two amazing women, they stood in the face at great risk, at great peril, their own life, their profession taken away, potentially even in prison or worse yet, they may even have been killed. They didn't do it. The midwives, however, they feared God, did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live, verse 18. Then the king of Egypt, he was really mad. He summoned the midwives back to his palace, and he asked them, hey, you two women. You can hear him saying that, right? Which, by the way, guys, I don't recommend when you're in a passionate argument to call your wife woman. But I've learned from Kenny Lyons, and so if Kenny can do it, I can do it. Cynthia just elbowed him sharply right there. He's in timeout right now. Come on, let's keep reading this. I better keep going. So then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked him, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The Bible is so funny. If you start reading the Bible and you really understand the meaning and the context, this is an awesome answer. The midwives answered Pharaoh, well, can you just imagine what their expression is? Well, you see, it kind of happens like this. Hebrew women, I'm adding a little flair to this, but I think that's what they were saying. You know, Hebrew women, you know, they're just more vigorous, right? They're not like these other women, these Egyptian women. It says they are vigorous, and quite frankly, things just happen before we even get there. The baby just births. So I don't know what to tell you, King Pharaoh. We can't kill him. Can you imagine what the exchange is between those two incredible women, just little small women, all they've known all their life is just to birth babies and to fear God. Just to birth babies and to fear God, standing before this great king, disobeying them, taking their life at their own risk, and then they had the wisdom from God to actually turn it back around on him. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? And their answer back to Pharaoh was actually elevating the Hebrew children, actually elevating the Hebrew people and putting the Egyptian people below them. They're just better. They can just birth babies better. Amen? They can just birth babies better. I don't know what to tell you. And so in verse 20, it says, so God was kind to the midwives. And the people did what? Shout it. They did what? So God was kind to the midwives. God was kind to them. For you see, what's amazing about the about Shifra and Pua, I've got four quick things I want you to write this down. Here's four quick things I captured. In order to become that girl, how many of you want to be that girl? Guys, don't raise your hand. How many of you want to be that girl? I got 10 of you. I said, how many of you want to be that girl? I'm up to 20. How many of you want to be that girl? I'm up to 25. How many of you want to be that girl? I want you to be that girl that God knows that when confronted with anything, when given a choice, you'll choose God. Amen? That you'll choose life, whether it's unborn life or whether it's the life that's standing right in front of you. Amen? There is nothing like a mama's love. There is nothing like a mama's prayer either, amen? There's nothing like a mama getting down on her knees and knowing that she has the power to call down every stronghold, to call down every demonic assault over their kids, to call down every situation that young person may be walking in. And I'm telling you, there's something powerful when a mama connects to God, amen? When you don't walk in fear, for these women didn't walk in fear. They walked in four things. You ready to write these down? The first thing they walked in conviction. If you're ever going to be that girl, you must walk in conviction. There's two kinds of people, you see. Those that do and those that don't. You must have a passion. You must have a conviction. You must have something on the inside of you that knows, hey, God has put me. God has put me here. God has purpose for me. I know that I can do something great. I know that God, it may not look like in the natural I have a lot, but I know God, if you can work through me, that God, you can do something amazing through my life. Amen. I'm telling you, we live way in the average. Many of y'all, in the sound of my voice this morning, guys and women, we just allow whatever happens in our life just to happen. I'm challenging us this morning. These two women just didn't allow something to happen. They confronted, they pushed back a little bit. Not a little bit. They pushed back a lot at their own expense. They pushed back on something that was wrong. Something that was evil. Something that they wouldn't tolerate. That went against God. I want to do a quick shout out. Jimmy Trotter, where are you? Jimmy, where are you? You here? Stand up. Sorry, stand up. I didn't see you. Way in the back. This incredible man, him and his wife, we love her more than him, but it's a package deal, so it just goes along with it. So, Kathy, you stand up as well. We want to show you off as well. So give those guys a big hand. Amen. Jimmy and Kathy, longtime members, incredible part of this church, incredible part of what's happening in our jail ministry. God is just opening amazing doors for that couple. I believe the best is yet to come over them. Amen. And I thank God for their lives. I thank God. They are incredibly generous people with their time, with their money, with their talent. And one of the ways that Jimmy took advantage of God's talent in him is he wrote a book. And talking about conviction, talking about somebody that has a conviction. And we kicked off several weeks ago around a small group of us, about 10 of us. We'll talk more about it in the days to come, about racial reconciliation. If there's ever a season in which our church and our community and our nation needs racial reconciliation, how do we get in the face of God in order to say, hey, God, what do you say about me living and serving and walking and talking and working beside one another, regardless of what color your skin happens to be, amen? Regardless of what your background happens to be, regardless of what side of the road you come from. Amen? And so I want to honor Jimmy this morning, and he'll have these books available. It's called Eradicating Racism. It says, you are a racist, eradicating racism. And so this book is incredibly inspiring, it's incredibly encouraging, and it's informative. See, ignorance is not a place that I want to stay in. Can I say that again? I don't want to be ignorant about what you have walked through. I don't want to be ignorant about the struggle that you've walked through, regardless of, once again, what side of the tracks that you came from. And so these kinds of resources are there, are available for you. It's $10. All the proceeds go back to Kathy. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to grab one of these books. I don't know how many copies he has back there, $10, or you can go on Amazon. So thank you, Jimmy, for your passion. Thank you, Jimmy, for your conviction to write this book. Amen? So that's number one. You got to have conviction. Number two, I'm hurrying. You got to have compassion. Write that down, compassion. For I see that the world around me is getting less and less compassionate, and it really bothers me. When somehow, some way, we can be so callous about a life, when we can be somehow oblivious or naive to what's happening around in our community. And I want to challenge us as a church that we have some incredible open doors. Over the next few weeks, we'll talk about it more. But we've got incredible open doors, and Luke Heroes, I want to give Lou a huge shout out for all the incredible work he does to help our community. An incredible job. And I don't have time this morning to tell you about all what God is doing. But we believe that God is strategically positioning our church to show compassion and to show love and to show help to those that are less fortunate. For that is the Bible, amen? People don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I want to be the kind of church that they know when they walk through those doors, when they call on a phone line, when they reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram or however they reach us, I want them to know that they will find compassion in our church, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of their situations. We have so many open doors now, church. In fact, as JD mentioned on the 22nd of May, right out in that parking lot, we're going to give away 40,000 pounds of food. We're going to feed, we're going to feed over 1,000 families an incredible box of food. I talk about food more these days than I do literally everything else because I just know it's the doorway into somebody's soul. Amen? But I believe it's just the beginning of where God is taking our church. For you see, there's a vision hanging over this church. I talked about it last year during our anniversary Sunday. 35 years ago, my father-in-law, who's gone on to be with Jesus, he had a vision over this house. And the vision was for us to be a distribution center of content, a distribution center of people, a distribution center of resources. That's why I don't know if you really caught what Pastor Lynn said. We're now in a position as a church that we're actually able to take what we have in order to give it away overseas through the form of money. Amen. I thank God that our church is blessed. I thank God that, yeah, our bank account, quite frankly, our savings account, it should be a lot larger on paper. But I'm just saying our belief is, God, if you can get it to us, you can get it through us. I'd rather give it away, amen, because I know that whatever we give, it comes back to us. I just know that there's a lot of hurting people. And so, God, we're asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. Where do you want us to pour into? Where do you want us to show the compassion of Christ? That's where we'll be. I'm telling you, I'm more encouraged, I'm more fired up, and I'm more inspired than ever before. I want to be a Shifra. I want to be a Pua. I want to stand in the face of some ugly, foul, filthy system, and I want to say, you can't have that person. Amen? I know you've been strung out. I know you've been broke. I know your house burnt down. I know you don't have a lot, or maybe you have a lot. I don't know. But I know there's a God, and we will not back down. I want to show compassion. Value life. Can I have an amen? Third thing is companionship. The incredible thing about these two ladies, the Bible's mixed on what their relationship was, whether it was mother and daughter or somehow connected in their family, but it doesn't really matter. What I want to for sure get through to you today is you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. That's why God created church. Amen. That's why God created this community of believers. That's why God created you and I to be a family, amen? To be one. This is the year of one. If there's ever a season for us as a church, if there's ever a season for us as a community, as a nation, quite frankly, to not be one, this is a season. But I categorically stand here before you today and I say the devil is a liar. Amen? Amen? I can't do this without you, and you can't do it without me. Look at somebody next to you and say, I need you. Come on, shout it. Say, I need you. Come on, find somebody else. Say, I need you. I need you. We need each and every one of you to have a love for people. My motto over the last year or so is simply this, and I try to make it no more complicated than this. Love God. Love people. It's really that simple. Love God, love people. We make it real complicated, y'all. Love God, love people. Let me say it one more time. We as a church, we will love God and love people. I'm telling you, if we can do that, there won't be a building big enough that we can build. Amen? On anniversary Sunday, I want to put a plug in this, speaking of expanding. So all throughout this building, there is we're getting ready to embark on a number of major projects. So we need your prayer. We need your financial support, and quite frankly, we need your faith. We're believing God over this year, between now and the end of this year, mark my words, our campus will not look the same. Amen? I believe that God has called us. I believe that God has called us to expand. I believe God has called us to reach like never before. So it started with this incredible technology that now literally we're broadcasting all over the world. And so as I'm speaking here this morning, there's folks watching from Pakistan, from South Africa, from Colombia, from Brazil, from Milton, Florida. Amen? I said Milton, Florida. Hey, I'm believing God by the end of this year, our campus is going to look radically different. Amen? We're going to get a new roof by faith. Amen? Hurricane Sally punched us right in the face, but we're going to get a new roof. Amen? I'm believing God that we're going to strategically expand in some areas, especially for our student ministries. Amen? We got to reach more kids. Amen? We got to reach more students. We have to. We're going to be adding some portables right behind this building. And so, no, we don't want to become the portable church. But right now, we got to move fast. We got to move quick. Our school needs to expand. Amen. We want to strategically add a high school. We want to strategically add more space below the five-year-olds. We want to reach new moms that are having babies birthed by Shifra and Pua. We want to put them into our early learning center. Amen. Actually, they don't work here, but I definitely want to hire two women that like that. Amen. We want to do some things strategically for our kids, things like a new playground. So on anniversary Sunday, I'm asking you to get ready. We're going to take a special offering, and we're believing God that we're going to radically upgrade our playground. You're like, well, there's so many other places where you can use the money. Da, da, da. Hey, there's no other place we can do to attract moms and dads with kids. Amen? Your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever it may be. I thank God for the playground and what it's done over the last 20 years, but it is time for an upgrade. Amen? It is time for an upgrade. I'm just giving you just a little bit of what's going to be happening. So in 2 weeks, I'm believing God that we're going to be able to raise $100,000. I have no idea how we're going to do it. I have no idea how we're going to do it. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. But you know what? If Shifra and Pua looked in the natural, they would have kowtowed to Pharaoh. Amen? They would have kowtowed to him. And so I just know that we got to do it with you and I. Last thing, and then I'm going to close. Got to have, if you're ever going to be that girl, if you're ever going to be that guy for that matter, you got to have courage. You got to have courage. You got to be willing to stand in the face of adversity. You got to be willing to stand when everybody else is running. In culture today, there's a term that we're using called cancel culture. The main thrust of it is when things get a little tough, it's easier to just cancel whatever you're doing. But if you're ever going to be that girl, moms, sisters, aunts, grandmas, if you're ever going to be that girl, it's going to require you to stand before the giants, stand before the bullies, and just not give in, not quit, not allow your circumstances, people, or anything else for that matter to intimidate you, and know that God is with you. For you see, it's an attitude. Attitude is a choice. I choose my attitude. I choose how I respond. I choose whether I obey. Those two ladies had a choice. Their choice was comply, kill the girls, or kill the boys rather, or fight against at their own risk and stand their ground. Those two ladies, if I had to pick two amazing women in the Bible, they actually were the first recorded act of civil disobedience in the Bible. They were the first recorded act in the Bible where they actually railed against what law was saying. They're the first people that said, no, I see what's written, I see what's coming at me, but I choose to fear God and do it God's way. And I stand and I plant my feet with courage today. I will not bow down to you. Sounds like a familiar story, huh? But these two ladies, they really showed us how to do it. Amen? You got to have courage. See, there's two best days, y'all. There's a day when you and I were born, and there's a day when you and I discover why. See, Christians are way overeducated in terms of our apps, in terms of our Bible programs, in terms of even the sermons that we preach. We're inundated with all these ways that somehow, some way, we become better Christians. I believe that where we're underutilized and where we don't get it is in our obedience. My prayer to you and I this morning is this: God, whatever you ask of me, I will do it. With courage, with compassion. God, I'll do it I'll link arms with another brother, with another sister. I'll link arms with somebody that maybe doesn't know exactly how to do it, how to walk the walk and talk the talk. They may not smell right. They may be from the wrong side of the road. But God, today I stand before you. I will link arms with somebody and I will do it with conviction. I will not back down. I will continue to move forward. For you see, in Psalm 34, and I'll just read it for you real quick. The first part, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I just make up my mind today, right now. I make up my mind. You make up your mind today that, God, I want to be a Shifra. I want to be a Pua. I want to be a woman that when the heat comes on, I want to know, God wants to know, will you run or will you stand? Will you bow or will you lift your head up? Regardless of the cost, regardless of what's asked for you. Ultimately, these two ladies were a hint of what was to come throughout the book of Exodus. See, Genesis is the book of creation. Exodus, obviously, is the book of redemption. It's the book of saving. These two ladies in the very first chapter, never mentioned again in the Bible. You won't find them really, you won't hear very many sermons about them. You can Google them and you can learn more about them. But without these two ladies, there would be no Moses. Without no Moses, there wouldn't be the lineage that you find in the New Testament. Because if you read the New Testament, I believe it's in Matthew 1, that if you go back to the lineage, who's in the lineage? It's all these people in the lineage of Jesus. So if it wasn't for two ladies willing to put their lives at risk, if it wasn't for these two ladies willing to say, God, I fear you more than I fear man. For you see, the number one thing that you and I, that prevents you and I forever stepping really into what God's called us is a fear of man. What is he or what is she going to think of me if I do this? But I thank God that we can break that off of you today, Lord. I thank God with God's help, we can break that off of you today. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you just give me just a few more minutes. I know I'm standing between you and lunch. But if there's ever a season, if there's ever a message on Mother's Day to encourage you, to inspire you, to challenge you, I pray that you will draw strength upon the life, the conviction, the compassion. I pray that you'll draw strength from the courage of these two women. For you see, I believe in the sound of my voice as I was thinking about this morning and how I wanted to finish. See, life will tell you that you're insignificant. I didn't grow up in a fancy home. We didn't have a lot of money. What we did, I'm very thankful for. I'm not the most talented speaker. I'm not the smartest guy. I struggle to make decent grades in school. I'm not great at athletics, although I love virtually any sport. I'm not great at really anything. And so I can choose to accept that, or I can say, hey, God, you tell me what I'm great at. You show me, God, why did you put me here? God, why did you, what is the why behind my life? What's the why behind your life?
For you see, the world will make you and I be insignificant. The world will say you don't have enough money, so you'll never become anything. The world will say you don't have enough education, so you'll never be able to do that. The world will say that you don't have enough degrees hanging on your wall. You don't drive the right car. You don't have the right mom and dad. You came from a broken family. You're the fifth kid of your mom who was unwed. She had three other baby daddies. It'll be all those things that somehow, some way, I can never step into what God's called me to do. I'm telling you this morning, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. God spoke to me as I was walking up there this morning that the greatest attack on women's lives is this, or one of the greatest attacks, is the feeling of being insignificant. I'm challenging you this morning that God wants to make you significant, not in man's eyes, not in the world's eyes, but God wants to make you significant in the kingdom of God. God wants you to make it significant in His eyes. Come on, with your eyes closed, just while you're standing there. I want to pray over the moms first. I'm going to invite you down to the front in just a second. My heart is this, that the spirit of Shifra and Pua drops at this auditorium this morning, drops online this morning. I'm praying that that spirit gets on the inside of every single mom. Lord, every single woman in the sound of my voice. I'm praying the spirit of Shifra gets on the inside of a man in the sound of my voice who struggles on what they see and what they've experienced and what they've walked through in the natural. But I'm praying, let there be a conversion, God. Lord, let there be a conversion, Holy Spirit. Father, your word says, God, Jesus said it himself, that if you want to gain your life, I must lose my life. Father, let there be a surrendering at this altar this morning, God, that whatever I want to gain in this natural life, I first have to wash the feet of my brother and sister. If I ever truly want to gain anything in life, God, I have to serve somebody else. God, if I ever truly want to maintain some tie, God, I have to love those that are unloved. Father, let that be the heartbeat of our church like never before. Lord, let that be the heartbeat of every single man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice this morning. God, make us significant in your eyes. I don't want man's affirmation. I don't want man's accolades. Lord, I want to surrender. I want to leave it all to you. In Jesus' name. Come on, if I'm talking to you, if you're a mom, if you're a daughter, an aunt, a grandma, a sister, a godmother, if you're a teacher, and you want God to put the spirit of Shifra and Pua on you like never before, I want to invite all the ladies down first. And then guys, we're going to come right behind them. Come on, ladies, I want to invite you down front. I want to pray over you. I want to invite my wife up to the front as well. If I can get somebody to grab this pulpit for me, that'd be great. Come on, ladies. Thank you, Jesus. Man, what an amazing group of ladies. Come on, guys. Will you just come behind these incredible ladies? Ladies, if you'll just take a couple steps forward. My wife and I, we want to pray over you. Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua. I'm looking around by the Spirit. Rather than my natural eyes this morning, what I'm seeing in the Spirit is an incredible group of women. You're talented. I'm speaking this over you. You're talented. You're gifted. Amen? You can start businesses. You can be successful as a wife. You can be successful as a mother. I'm speaking life over wombs that have been dead. I'm speaking life over godmothers and grandmas and aunts. I'm speaking life over teachers who are in the mission field every single day of the week. I'm speaking life and hope and strength over businesswomen. Where are the Shifras and the Buas? Where are the women that somehow on the inside of you, you have the God-given ability, but you've been allowing man, you've been allowing your past, you've been allowing anything to intimidate you, to hold you back. You've been allowing a system to tell you what you can and what you can't do because of the color of your skin. You've been allowing a system to tell you what you can and what you can't do because you came from the wrong side of the tracks. I break the lie of the enemy off of you, you incredible group of women. For there's ever a time for us to rise up. If there's ever a time for us to know who we are, for you women to know who you are, today is the day. So I command every foul, filthy spirit that would try to intimidate you, try to rob from you, try to kill from you, and try to destroy who you are. I speak identity back in you, woman of God. I speak life back into you, woman of God. I speak hope back into you, woman of God. I speak your body to be healed, whole, woman of God. In the name of Jesus, we command every foul, filthy spirit of intimidation to be broken. Come on, guys, I need you to extend your hands up here over these women. Lord, we break the back of the enemy that tries to torment, tries to intimidate, tries to hold back. Lord, I pray, God, be a barrier-breaking woman today. Break the glass ceiling. Break the glass ceiling. Break it in the spirit. Break it in the natural. Where are the business women? Where are the leaders, the pastors, the evangelists, the missionaries? Where are the moms, the teachers, the mentors, the evangelists? Where are you? Lord, we break right now. Man, I feel an authority in the spirit right now. We break intimidation right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. We break intimidation right now in the name of Jesus. You are not held back by a man's opinion, by your mama, by your daddy. You are not held back by the world. It's only between you and God. Who are you, Shifra and Pua? Rise up in this house. Shake off. Shake off intimidation. Shake off in the name of Jesus. Shake it off. Though we break the back of every accusing word, we take authority, Father God, even over our own words. Lord, I declare, women, Lord, as they look in the mirror today, tomorrow morning, God, I pray, let them see you. Shifra and Pua, they weren't determined, God, by what they look like. They were determined by the size of the God they serve. Shifra and Pua stood before. Shifra and Pua stood before the systems and said, we will not be intimidated by what I see. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, hands, pray over these women. In the name of Jesus.
Identity being released in the room this morning. Come on, I believe there's new identity coming over the women in the sound of my voice right now. There's identity coming. Who you are, not what you do, not just your definition as a mom or a wife or all those things, but there's identity coming. I speak identity to every one of us in this room, to every woman to rise up, to mothers and daughters and sisters. God, I speak right now identity that the enemy has tried to steal, and we've tried to become something that we're not. But today, God, I declare that we're going to rise up, God, because we know who we are, because we know whose we are. So therefore, God, we can walk in identity. So we declare that today. I declare that over every woman in this room. And God, even as you released in this house a couple weeks ago, I call back prodigals that mothers' hearts have been crying for. I call back prodigals in the name of Jesus. I call back those that the enemy has tried to steal. I call back every child, every son, and every daughter that the enemy has tried to come and to capture them. But today, through the faith of a mother, we stand up and we unlock the door of captivity over their life in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare that every prodigal son and daughter, we In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hey, I want to speak to the ladies. As I was standing back there, I want to speak to the ladies that you believe that somehow, some way, that you can't add value anymore. Your time has passed. The new generation has to take over. I just feel that in my heart this morning. We talked about it on Friday night, and I feel like there's a grace, there's an anointing, there's a need for women of all ages. Are you hearing me? As I was standing back there, I'm looking at, look around you. Look at this incredible group of women. All ages. All backgrounds, all color. It's amazing. Listen, we need you. Yes. We need you. We need you. We need your gray hair, your silver hair, your no hair. Wait, it's not ladies, it's guys, sorry. Come on, we need you. And it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell that somehow, someway, just this new generation, I'm supposed to just get out of the way and sit at home. My prayer for us as a church, regardless of what your age is, you will live until you die. Are you hearing me? We will live until we die. In other words, if you're thinking about retirement, your retirement has been canceled. No retirement, amen? We are here to build the kingdom. Shifra and Pua, let that spirit drop on you this morning. Come on, stretch your hands one more time towards heaven. Come on, Holy Spirit. Men, women, young, old, black, white, brown, whatever it may be, God. Let it rise up in us as a house that like never before, God. Lord, let us lead. Let us move. God, let us live, Lord, with conviction. Lord, let us live with courage. Let us live with one another, God. And Lord, I thank you, Father God. We will move with great courage in the name of Jesus. Father, see the hands that are lifted all over this room. Father, we pray that over our house, God. Let us change, Lord God, our community, God. Let us be Shifra and Pua in the face of man. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Let every body be healed, every mind be lifted up, God. Let us walk out encouraged, changed, convicted, God, that you, I can do with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, if you agree, shout a big loud amen. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Shout a big loud amen. Woo. Well, hey, we're going to stay down here and minister to you, incredible ladies or the men. So I want to just invite you, if you need prayer for anything, please don't go anywhere. Our prayer team will pray for you. Also, ladies, when you walk out, if you didn't get one of our gift bags, make sure to grab one. Our team out there will have them ready for you. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. We love you.